so happy to be able to go into the Word of God. Come with me this Palm Sunday. You know, it's the day where we celebrate that triumphal entry of Jesus, obviously, into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection. And I thought that today I wanted to do something a little different. I thought I want to go into the Gospel of John and take us to a few sections in the Gospel of John. And I want to bring home some things that the Lord has been speaking to me about this week. So come with me first of all then. Let's go, first of all, to John 8. John 8, and I'll read from verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Brothers and sisters, I want you to engage your minds this morning. Please engage your minds with me. We're involved in warfare at the moment. There's a spiritual war raging all around us. You know, I don't know how clear that is to you, but we are involved in a spiritual war. Now then, the strongholds of Satan are in the mind. They're in the reasonings and the imagination, okay? They're in the mind. That's why it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. What are they mighty in God to do? Pulling down what? Strongholds. High things. Everything that's high. Where's a stronghold? It's in the mind. Where's a high thing? It's an idea. It's in the mind. It has a place in the mind that's high. It's the highest thing that's there, that's attacking there. That's where this takes place. So, watch what Jesus says. This is what Jesus... So, let me say this to you. For you, there's a warfare against your mind, okay? And it's going to try and get you, steer you very subtly at times and explicitly at other times away from the truth that is found in Jesus. Now, I know that that sounds obvious. It's an obvious thing to say. But I'm saying it because I want us to engage this morning, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us and reveal what the Scriptures are saying in a deeper way than perhaps he has up to now in our lives. So come with me as we continue to read. And what we've just mentioned here is the truth. Jesus says that, you know, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free. Truth is an objective reality. It is an absolute so often. Now, we live in a world, in a culture that has relativism as one of the pinnacles of our society. Relativism is a pinnacle in our society. Listen to me this morning, my brothers and sisters. Relativism says, your truth for you, my truth for me. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Don't give me your absolute truth. No. There's my truth for me, your truth for you. That's relativism. I'm telling you now, it is a stronghold of Satan. And it's so plausible. And I'm telling you, in people's minds, it puts its tentacles into people's minds. It takes control of people's minds. It stops people believing in the absolute truth of the gospel. And that stops them walking in the absolute truth of the gospel. And that stops them having a testimony about the absolute truth of the gospel. In other words, it starts with a little compromise that happened in the mind. Because we live in a culture of relativism. And it's in all sorts of things. And what it does is people become so exhausted with it, they no longer have the energy to try and find the truth. They just can't be bothered. There's so many voices. There's voices from the left, voices from the right, voices from this side, that side, all different perspectives. Who knows who's right? Well, one thing I know is this. Jesus is right. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And so I'll stake everything on Jesus. Amen? And Jesus is giving us instructions today, and he's saying to us today, listen, if you follow me, he says, you will know the truth. So he puts a demand on us to reject the lies. Reject the lies, sift through it. It takes energy. It takes effort. Much easier to say, oh, I don't know, I'm just... No, not for us. Jesus says, you shall know the truth. So that takes us then to decipher it. And this is very important. When you do this, my friends, you'll walk in liberty, and not just in the realm of your faith, but it affects everything in life. It affects the totality of a person. Everything you do then is liberated. I'm telling you, I'm a testimony to it. I know this is the truth. Hallelujah. Let's read on. He said, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Whew. He's talking to those religious leaders. I want to share something with you today. I believe we live in a time very similar to this. I believe we live in a time where religious leaders want to be liked. They want to be accepted much more than they want the truth. Because the truth is narrow at times. The truth is offensive to some people. The truth leads you to be accused of being bigoted, leads you to be accused of having a narrowness, a certain old-fashioned perspective. The truth is something that people hate. They hate the truth. They're not neutral to it. They hate it. And they hate anyone who claims to follow the truth. And we're talking now about those people who are in churches, church leaders. Because for them, they're not interested in truth. So often, what they want is the religion of Christianity. But don't give me that strong truth stuff. I just want to be liked. That's what they say. I just want to, well, you know, they just want to be liked and they want to be accepted and they want to be seen to be doing well and be happy and all of the rest of it and enjoy their lives and no hassle. And, you know, because they haven't really put great emphasis and they haven't understood the importance of the truth. My friends, when I read this Bible, I'm not reading it as an ancient book. I'm reading it as a living reality for me right now today. Palm Sunday 2021. It's as relevant today as it ever was before. This is the truth of Almighty God. And I tell you what, they can all go the way of that relativism. They can all go that way. I'm not going that way. I'll never go that way. And no Christian will go that way. So what I'm saying is, we're living in very interesting days. We are in a war. The truth is vitally important. Let's read on. He says then, in verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. There it is again, the truth. Because there is no truth in him. You see how important this understanding of truth is. Whoever wants to worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, you notice how many times the truth is being mentioned in these few verses. And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Wow. It's just stunning to me. Stunning how Jesus is so clear. You know, sometimes we read the scripture, oh yeah, we've read it, you know, we read it, you know, and we understand what it says. Yes, yeah, yeah. No, listen. Inductive Bible study. We have to read the Bible, understand what it meant originally and how it was applied originally, and then we have to really, as students, rightly dividing the word, understand now how it applies and implicates onto our lives today. And what this means is that as followers of Jesus, we will stand out from the crowd. People will point and say, hey, you're on the, you're narrow, you lot. Why can't you be inclusive? Why can't you just include everyone? And of course, I was telling someone the other day involved in politics, I was saying to him, well, you know, I believe in diversity. There was a situation that came up this week, and I spoke to this person, and what it was he involved, well, I don't really want to talk about it really, but a little girl was upset. She was in a toilet. This little girl was upset. There was a man in there. He was wearing a wig and a dress, and she came, a little girl came running out, and she said, Mummy, there's a man in the, he's wearing. And the mother came in. She said, what are you doing? She said, get out. He said, I'm a lady. At first glance, it sounds like, the description is like a Monty Python sketch to me. I just think of Monty Python. They were a comedy group in the 70s, not very good stuff, but I just thought of that bizarre. And what's happened subsequently was the people then gathered around, the local people heard about it, and the local people gathered around, and I was talking to this politician about it, because the politician explained to me that in fact what's happened is the people have now ganged up against this woman and her daughter, because they've been so harsh and not accepting. And so now they're the bad ones. Now, you see what I'm saying? We're in a war. And it's in the mind. Now, God bless that person who's, you know, wearing the wig. God bless them. We have nothing but love for them. Honestly, we have nothing but love for them. Because people go into things and they don't know why and they can't understand, and sometimes it's difficult. And it's not our job to do anything other than offer that person love. Really, it's not our job to offer anything but love. But it is our job to say it's unfair that a mother and a little girl should be persecuted for their natural reaction. Because we hear of strange things that happen, and they didn't want a strange thing happening to them. My friends, I'm sharing this with you today because we're talking about truth. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about truth. And this is why at times when we hold to our opinion, our truthful opinion won't be accepted by some people. And I want us as a church to recognize that, look, There will be times when our position will be unfashionable and it won't be accepted, and the crowd will be against us. You know, they shouted to Jesus on Palm Sunday, didn't they? Hosanna, Hosanna! And then just a few days later, it was crucify him, crucify him! And the crowd shouts with a big voice. And then you remember what happened. The disciples, they turned against Jesus. They denied Jesus. They said, you were with him, weren't you? You were with him. No, no, not me. Why did they do that? Because the crowd was against them. The crowd was against Jesus. And when you get everyone denouncing you for your position, it's easy to think that you'll be strong. But if you're really in that position, it could be a great pressure to have a crowd shouting against you. And so this is why I'm saying it now, while we have an opportunity to gird the loins of our mind, as the Apostle Paul puts it, girding the loins of our mind so that we are prepared and we are clear about what we believe, why we believe it, and why we stand in the truth, and why we rely on his resources in the truth. Am I making sense so far, brothers and sisters? I tell you why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because I'm talking about the reality of what's going on out there. And there's so many situations like this. Now, you see, for us, we can offer love to all three people involved in that little scenario that I've described. We can offer love. Jesus has got the answer for everyone. The truth is the answer. And sometimes, as long as we offer the truth, people will respond. But we have to make a stand for that truth. And we can't allow ourselves to be bullied or coerced by the crowd. When the crowd shouts, crucify him, crucify him, in other words, deny him, we denounce him, we denounce him, we denounce him. We have to be the ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to have courage and say, I will not be one of those. I will stand. I'm prepared to be unpopular. I'm prepared to go against the flow of society, because the flow of society is wrong. It's a lie. They're following a deception. They're deceived so often. There's a terrible delusion out there. It's a delusion. It's a lie. It's a deception and a lie. But as for me and my house, we're following the truth. This church is following the truth. His name is Jesus. Let me take us to John. Let's go to John 12 now. We were in John 8. We go to John 12, just for one verse in John 12. And then we move to John 15. But in John 12, 13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's what they said. John 12, 13. And in John 15, come with me, please, John 15 to verse 18. It says this. Now listen to what Jesus is saying, my friends. It's so true. It's so relevant to us today. Come with me now. John chapter 15 and from verse 18. It reads like this. Are you ready to listen, everyone? Everyone's ready? Yeah. You know, sometimes you get a lot of information in and you can just switch off. I'm not going to be long this morning, but I just want everyone to really engage. Are you ready for me to read from this, John 15? Okay, John 15, verse 18. Here we are. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, if your position is hated. Don't be surprised if they're in the church and they hate you. Many of them who attend church aren't Christians. It's a sad thing, but they're not following the Jesus that I know from the Holy Scripture. They're just not. I wish that wasn't the case. with my heart. But I'm speaking the truth. Jesus says, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Notice he says, I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Now, everyone here, don't allow that sorrow to fill your heart, okay? We're going to read on. But what we're involved this morning in this service on this Palm Sunday, 2021, is truth. Not religious platitudes, but truth. Here we are. Let's just read on. Here we go. Verse 7. Saying it again. It says it again in this verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Well, what does all truth mean? Well, biblical truth. Yes, but that's not all truth. All truth. Is it any wonder that in this country we had so many scientists, so many great scientists, so many great minds, an empire that stretched around the world, which I, unlike the revisionist historians, don't apologize for. I think it was a great blessing a lot of the time, not always, but a lot of the time. But inventions that sprung out of this country around the world, the Industrial Revolution, 1760 to 1830, that Industrial Revolution spread around the world. with great inventions that changed the world. How was that? Well, that was part of the truth. That was part of this truth. Truth, understanding things. But today, if you say the truth, if you dare to speak the truth against the backdrop of a world that's going with the lies of the enemy, then you'll stand out. And people don't like to stand out, and people just want to go with the flow. But I'm telling you now, I'll throw a couple in just to highlight what I'm saying. Black Lives Matter. The truth of Black Lives Matter is it's a Marxist organization. It's Marxist. If you look at the website, it's Marxist. We want the best for all. But of course, it goes without saying. We're Christians. We're believers. But that organization is about Marxist theory, about ripping away the Christian values from a society, ripping them away from a society, denouncing those values, and using leverage in a leverage from history in an inappropriate way. My friends, what I'm saying to you this morning is this: you and I have to engage in the truth. So when I tell people I'm not a fan of Black Lives Matter, and I think it's very, it's a Marxist organization, of course some of you are too polite to say it now, but you may disagree with me. You're entitled to disagree, that's fine. You can disagree, but I'm telling you the truth. What I'm saying is this: God has called us to walk in his truth, and that means that we at times have to question the loud voices. Those voices that shout the loudest aren't necessarily shouting the truth. When they shouted Hosanna, Hosanna on this Palm Sunday all those years ago, it was the same people within a few days who were shouting crucify him, crucify him. Never trust the loudest voices. Those shouting crowds, don't trust the shouting crowds, my precious brothers and sisters. Trust what Jesus spoke of. Here is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit in this portion of Scripture that we're reading. And he's saying the voice of the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. His word will lead us, but we have to then quieten ourselves, listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, spend every day in our prayer, our Bible study, our worship, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into this truth. And he goes on here, let me just close here as we come to the end. He says this: he will glorify me, verse 14, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. In John 18, which is our final verse, Pilate says to Jesus, what is truth? The truth comes up again, right at the climax of Jesus' ministry on earth. And Pilate says to him, what is truth? Well, we found the truth in the person of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, let's not be like the crowd that shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Let's not go the way of the crowd. Let's go the way of individuals who follow Jesus Christ. Few there are that go on that road, Jesus said. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many are on that road. But narrow is the way. Few there are that find it. But we have found it. And we will walk in that way. And walk in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this morning because I want us all to have courage to stand and know the importance of truth. And not allow ourselves to be force-fed lies. If you listen to the radio, if you watch TV, They are dishing out lies upon lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. And what I'm saying is this. We have been called by Jesus Christ to know the truth. That means that we must discern the truth from lies. And that means that we don't go the way of the crowd very often. Very often it's not the broad road, it's not the way of the crowd for us. And so I'm just inviting us to do that now. And that will impact on our ability to have a testimony. It may not be popular. You may stand out. There may be people then who look at you slightly differently because you're standing out. You're not just playing along with them. You're not playing along with the crowd. You're standing out. But in standing out, you're following Jesus. In standing out, you're being a light to those other people. And in standing out, you're one of those who's saying, I will not join the crowd and say, crucify him, because I believe that what the crowd is doing today, very often out there, is saying, crucify him, because there is a war on against the Christian church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a war on in the culture that's out there against the church. They hate the church of Jesus Christ so often. There's a war on against it. And what they're doing is crucify him. And they do it by passing laws. And they do it by having a perspective. And they do it by spreading lies. And they do it by denouncing the truth of the gospel. My friends, we're wise to it, aren't we? Stand with me, please. Heavenly Father, we touched on something.